Chapter 2. Finding Signal in the Noise. This book falls into what we call the success study genre. You very likely have read, or at least heard of, the more famous and influential exemplars of the field, among which most would include In Search of Excellence by Tom Peters and Robert Waterman, and Good to Great by Jim Collins. As students of the field, we have read quite closely a good many such books. If you have also read some of these books, you fall into one of three categories. You might have found the prescriptions of prior success studies compelling, or even just useful food for thought. In this case, we recommend you read this chapter with some care. We will argue here that the findings of previous works have been undermined by deep-seated flaws in method that we have taken great pains to remedy, with important implications for the validity and soundness of our findings. On the other hand, you might have tended to dismiss the recommendations of previous works due to deep-seated flaws in method. In this case, we recommend that you read this chapter with some care, and for the same reason. If you fall into neither of these categories, and hence belong to our third category, you can skip this chapter. The bedrock assumption of every success story is that one can infer the causes of differences in performance by comparing the behaviors of companies with higher performance with the behaviors of companies with lower performance. Most success studies set performance benchmarks that are intuitively demanding, and then declare that any companies clearing those benchmarks have achieved superior performance. Here is the problem. Our intuitions are terrible judges of what constitutes a meaningful difference in performance. For example, if we told you that the broad market index had an annualized total shareholder return of 9.2% over a 3-month period, while over that same time, Company A and Company B had annualized total shareholder returns of 9.3% and 9.1% respectively, would you believe it was worth trying to determine what behavioral differences caused those performance differences? If your intuitions are similar to ours in this regard, the answer is no. This difference is simply not material enough over a long enough period of time to warrant deeper investigation. Now the bad news. If we accept that some performance differences are so small as to have no discernible informational content, we are obligated to specify how large performance differences must be in order to matter. Conceptually, an annualized difference of 0.1% over 3 months is no different from a tenfold.